And so may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. There is something fascinating about the stars and the night sky. A couple of weeks ago now, you may have seen that moment in the sky when Jupiter and Saturn, these two great planets, came within a very short distance of one another. And for one who spends all their time teaching sixth formers the difference between subordinating and coordinating conjunctions, it's a German thing. The idea of seeing a great conjunction in the sky, well, what could be more exciting than that? But I'm afraid if you want to know more about the intricacies of German grammar, then that has to wait for another sermon. We know the story of the wise men, journeying from the east to behold the infant Lord in his manger. And note that the biblical account that we heard this morning doesn't really give us much more information than that. The idea that they were kings, or even the idea that there were three of them, comes later in church tradition. What we do know is that they come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts that are themselves prophetic, prophetic of Christ's kingship, his glory, his high priesthood, and myrrh, his death. And we know the story from the Christmas carols of our childhood of how Herod, threatened by the birth of a new, more authoritative king than himself, the king of the Jews, attempts to trick the wise men into revealing the precise location of Christ's birth. Herod's fear then manifests itself in the massacre of the innocents, which is commemorated in some of the words of our hymns later in this morning's service. And at the heart of all this is the star, leading, guiding, pointing. Or more poetically, perhaps, we could see the star as joining with the whole of the created order in rejoicing at the birth of this child, this birth so wondrous that even the stars and the heavens themselves rejoice at his birth. And at Matins, according to the Book of Common Prayer, we often recite the Benedicite, in which we acclaim that the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, the entire universe is called upon to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, and to magnify him forever. The prophets speak of the hills dancing and praising, and Psalm 19 declares that the heavens are telling the glory of God. The star is not to be seen as a passive object, but as joining with the whole universe, the whole created order, in giving praise and in rejoicing. But of course, the great star in the story is not the star in the sky, but the star that is Jesus Christ himself. The wise men, the Magi, don't need to look up into the sky to see God, but need to look down. Such is the message of Christmas, the message of the incarnation, of God becoming flesh, of coming to meet us. Not some distant, remote God that is afar off, but a personal God who is with us, Emmanuel, God with us. The language of Jesus being a star or a light is found foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament. Isaiah 9 talks of the people seeing a great light. Malachi chapter 4 speaks of the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And the language of the day spring from on high is familiar to us from Zechariah's prophecy at the very start of Luke's Gospel. The prophets speak of the darkness of sin. The Psalms speak of the darkness of the shadow of death. And Jesus comes to us as a star in the midst of the darkest winter night, to be a light of hope and a source of brightness and joy, speaking into the darkness of the very deepest human sin and separation. And this light shines as a light for all peoples, from the shepherds to the wise men, not just for Jewish chosen people, but the covenant is extended to embrace all. The wise men are Gentiles, most likely Zoroastrians, the ancient religion of Persia. But Epiphany means revelation, and Luke's gospel is keen to stress that this revelation is to all and for all people, regardless of race or of creed. For most of us, we will only get to experience the great marvels of space from a distance, second or even third hand. But the invitation to partake in the love, the life, and the being of Christ is one that is offered freely to us all to witness and to live for ourselves. We might not see the Bethlehem star, but we will all see stars on our own path and on our own journey. Our friends, our family members, our priests, those who support us and encourage us in the faith. But at the same time, as well as seeing Epiphany, the whole Christmas season as being about God's gifts to us, so does it trigger us to consider our response. And I wonder what would happen if the Christmas story were to repeat itself today. Would there be the same willingness that the wise men had to set out and to go and to travel and to explore? I wonder if nowadays, if we saw a new star in the sky, our first thought would be to take to Twitter and search for the hashtag odd star or new star in the sky. Or we could use Microsoft Teams or Zoom to connect with someone in Bethlehem who could tell us about it and tell us exactly what was going on. Teams and Zoom are great resources. They've kept us together and connected when times have been really tough over this past 9 months. And I don't wish in any way to seem ungrateful for these technologies. But the gospel of Christmas and Epiphany is all about physicality and reminds us that the Christian faith is not one of sitting still, but is one of constant exploration, of delving deeper, of journeying, of travelling, of moving, of being led by Christ. And so at the heart of Epiphany is this response of the wise men to make a journey, to make a pilgrimage. And each time we come to church, each time we celebrate the Mass, we are following the priest in the direction of the altar. We are all making our journey towards Christ in this service. We don't have to traverse hill and mountain to reach the altar. But the fasting, the confession, the dryness in prayer, the hard parts of our Christian journey are all part of that journey. And in a world of instants, of instant messaging, of Instagram, of Zoom, of instant marking, of instant feedback, we want to arrive at the destination in seconds. But the Christian journey isn't like that. And Epiphany reminds us that we are to journey. We are to go to Bethlehem. We are to enter into the mystery of the Word made flesh. We are to travel. We are to move. We are to be moved and be led. And there are challenges, there are difficulties, there are obstacles to be overcome. But when, with the Magi, we reach the destination of the crib, and see there, this and every Christmas, the great love that we have received at God's hand. His great act of reckless love and mercy in giving his own son to be one of us, to lie there in the manger. Then we realise that our acts of love and devotion are but a small token of gratitude. Not that we loved God, but that first he loved us. And so may God's blessing be with us all this new year. May God give us all joy in believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and may he give grace to his whole pilgrim church to journey with him ever deeper into the mysteries of his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.